Say a prayer to get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are a God we can turn to in the midst of the storms. I pray that you would be at work in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits today, Father, that you would turn us one more time towards you. I pray, Father, that the Gospel of Mark would come alive and that we would see Jesus Christ in right, healthy, and new ways. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So this last week we had a very big thunderstorm kind of move through at our house. The sky turned dark. One second it was summer, the next second it was pitch black. The rain started pouring, thunder started. Seemed like the lightning was literally touching down right in our backyard. And then the power went out, and the power stayed out for about 2 hours. Now, sometimes when you're watching a storm like this, it can be fascinating. You can smell the storm that's coming in the air. You can kind of watch in awe as you see it move through quickly in and out. Other times these storms can be terrifying. You feel like you are at the mercy of the wind and the rain and the storm, and you have to take shelter somewhere safe, like a basement or a closet or a bathroom, somewhere that you know that you are safe. There's nothing you can do to stop it, only wait them out. And then when the storm passes, you kind of go out and you see what happened, what was left behind, what destruction kind of got left in the wake. And this last time we were lucky because we only had to deal with the power being out for a few hours, and it was nights. We lit candles, had flashlights, but other times we've had storms go through that knocked down trees or damaged roofs, pulled our siding off. One time we were driving in a storm and it was so bad we had to find shelter in a driveway and the hail came down and it dented our car. These storms can feel amazing and terrifying all at the same time. And as we study the Gospel of Mark together, he tells us about this time that a storm came in on Jesus and his disciples. They were in a boat, and they had set out to cross the Sea of Galilee. Now, if you study kind of like the topography of this area, it's very, very interesting, because the Sea of Galilee is actually about 700 roughly feet below sea level, but it's also next to these mountains, which are really, really high. So you have this cold air kind of moving in from the mountains and this warm air kind of coming in from the sea. And when they hit, all of these storms historically would know to kind of pop up with like hurricane force winds, and they would stir up across the sea. So here Jesus and his disciples are, they're crossing a sea when this great storm kind of whips in. You've got hurricane force winds, waves, the boat's filling with water, rain is pouring down, and the men on the boat are doing all they can to bail out the water, to keep the boat afloat, to steady it across the side, because the sea, interestingly, isn't very large. You can actually see across one side to the other, but it's late, it's dark, the rain's coming in, the water is filling up the boat, the waves are too big, and they just simply can't keep up with the storm. It seems like the ship is going down and that they're all going to drown. So Mark tells us that Jesus is with them in the boat and he's in the stern, which is the back of the boat. And interestingly enough, as all of this is going on, Jesus sleeps through the storm on a cushion. So the disciples run back to him and they wake him up and they're like, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So Jesus wakes up to the storm, the disciples are there, they've kind of got this frantic look in their eye, they feel like death is coming, there's fear, and this is what Jesus does in the midst of it. In Mark chapter 4, 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Now, it's interesting because the language that's used here, Mark basically tells us that Jesus got up and he shushed a hurricane. Like a parent would shush a toddler and say, "Okay, enough, now be still, be calm." Jesus speaks that language to this raging, terrifying storm. "It's enough, be quiet now, calm down." And the miraculous thing is, it did. The storm responded, the winds died down, the water stilled. Now, we've seen storms that affect the waters, and the storm might go, but the waves are still sloshing back and forth. But the language here is it's almost like perfectly eerily still. What was once this violent, raging storm is now quiet and still. And then Jesus looks to his disciples and said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And Mark says they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, it's interesting. Whenever we study this together, why does Mark share this moment in the life of Christ? Why does he tell us this about Jesus' disciples, right? Like, it doesn't make the disciples look good, these guys who would go on to be like the forefathers of the church. But in this story, in this moment that Mark remembers happening, we get this glimpse into the incredible power of Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of this violent storm and raging seas, Mark shows us that Jesus is still in control. So here's what I want us to think about. There's two ideas for this. The first one is this: the storms aren't scary to Jesus Christ. The disciples are upset, but here's what we have to remember. Like, I could be out in the storm and that would feel overwhelming to me, but these guys are seasoned seamen. They've done this for a living. They've made their life on the sea. They knew how to navigate storms. This wasn't unfamiliar to them, but the danger was so imminent that even these very, very seasoned, experienced guys were afraid. They were convinced they were going to die. They were overwhelmed by what they had coming up against them. And in their overwhelming fear, confusion, trying to get out of it, Jesus slept through the storm. They're on the same boat. They're facing the same things. And on one hand, you have this group frantically trying to survive, and you have the calm of Jesus that doesn't even disrupt his sleep. And again, like, we have to take into account, this wasn't unexperienced sailors here. The water wasn't new to them. The storms were something they'd navigated before, but the intensity of this one, they felt, if something doesn't change immediately, we are all going to die. But even in the midst of all of this chaos, Jesus stayed calm. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't terrified. All the noise, all the fierceness, all the chaos, all the strength of the winds blowing around, they stopped in response to Jesus Christ. Yes, the storms are powerful. Yes, the winds can be fierce and the rain and the hurricanes. But Mark wants us to see we all can connect with the power of that, but Christ is yet more powerful. And what's interesting, what many commentaries want us to see, is when Jesus calms the storm, he doesn't call on a higher power to stop the storm. There's no incantation. There's no, like, in the name of this. Jesus is the higher power that calms the storm. Yes, nature can be violent and unmanageable. If you've been in a storm like this before, or outside when it's kind of starting to wake up, you feel that power, that intensity. But Mark says, look, the power of Jesus Christ is greater than that. He wasn't afraid of the sea. There was no struggle to stop the storm. There was no fight to push back. There was no wrestling it into submission. No incantation to say, do this. Jesus simply spoke calm into the storm. And we see that only Jesus Christ has that kind of power, this unimaginable, infinite power that's greater even than the mighty, destructive sea. And what matters about this is this great, powerful Christ, who's not intimidated by the storm, who's not scared by what we're scared of, who's not overwhelmed by the things that feel too hard for us, he has this view of the world and history and all of the things that are going on beyond what we can see. He sees not just what's happening today, but everything that has been and everything that will be. See, we have these right now perspectives in life. It's the nature of being human and alive, right? We see what we see. We can't know what we don't know. And we see what's going on with us, what we feel, what we experience, what we are going through. And it shapes us. It has this huge effect on who we are. And when we look at things just like the disciples that feel scary and overwhelming, it shapes our decision-making in our life and our choices. But Mark says, look at the power of Jesus Christ. in this all, in the past, in the right now, and in the future, he is in control. What shakes us doesn't shake him. What disrupts our level of comfort and safety doesn't disrupt him. What feels impossible to us is not impossible to Jesus Christ. His strength is enduring. His power is greater than it all. When we feel at the mercy of the storm, Jesus Christ is not. And we are reminded that our trust is in one who is greater than any storm we may face, who is more powerful than any uncertainty that we come against. And we see this in today, in who we are right now. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was able to speak calm into the storm, and he can speak calm and peace into our lives today. Life is messy, and it's hard, and it shows us again and again and again all the things that are beyond our control. We know in life we will face storms, that winds will blow, and the waves will look to push us down and knock us over. We know that even just the living of daily life has the ability to wear us down, that times will be hard and challenging and overwhelming. But we are reminded that even in these moments, Christ stands with us and can speak peace and calm into our hearts, that he is able to come alongside of us and see us through. No, I don't know what storms you're up against, and I don't know what you're facing today, but I do know this: the power of Jesus Christ is greater. I don't know what feels overwhelming to you right now at this moment, but I want us to never forget that the peace of Jesus Christ is just as available and accessible to us today as it was 2,000 years ago. Whatever feels unmanageable in our lives, whatever feels like the fear's too much and we can't breathe, it is not too much for Jesus Christ. When was the last time we sought the peace of Jesus Christ? When was the last time we turned to Christ and said, "Would you please help me to be calm in my life, in my family, in my heart?" When something hard is before us, when was the last time we just stopped and prayed for Christ to be with us, to give us strength to do the next hard thing? When you are overwhelmed, you have access to a greater power than anything you face. What is too much for us is never too much for Jesus Christ. And Mark tells us about this time in Jesus' life to help us see the power of Christ is greater than anything we face. In fact, he so wants us to see that he goes right into the next chapter in 5 and tells us about this another moment in the life of Christ where this man who's been just destroyed by evil meets Christ and everything changes. A man who felt terrifying to everybody else around him, who couldn't be restrained, whose life had been decimated and overcome by evil, when he met Jesus Christ, the evil left him, and he walked away a new man. The evil that was terrifying and intimidating to everybody else was nothing in the face of the power of Jesus Christ. The fear that others had in response to him was not a fear to Jesus Christ. Evil is no match for the power and the greatness of Jesus Christ. No matter how hard it is, no matter how ugly it is, Christ wins every single time. Our confidence, no matter what tomorrow looks like or the next day or the next month, our hope for the future in this life and the life to come is that Jesus Christ always wins and we can trust in him. Things that are scary to us are not to Christ, and we can turn to him and he can help see us through. But here's the second thing I want us to see. I think it's so fascinating because Jesus uses this as an incredible teaching moment for his friends. He knows what's ahead of them. He knows the road, the journey that they're on. And listen to the disciples' question. Here they are in the raging sea and the storm, and they see Jesus sleeping, and they say, "Teacher, don't you care that we could drown? Like, we could die right now." There's so many ways they could have woke up Jesus, right? Like, "Hey, could you help us here? Something scary's happening. Hey, I don't know if you see this, like, giant storm that's coming in. What should we do? We could use some help," right? There's so many ways they could have approached Jesus, but what they said was this: "We're dying, and you don't care. We're out here doing our best to survive. If you loved us, you wouldn't have let this happen." Now, I don't know about you, but if you're being honest, we can sympathize with the disciples in these moments. They're strong, capable people, and they feel like death is imminent, and they're being consumed by the storm and the water, and we know how that feels. We know the moments in life where it feels like we're sinking and everything is going wrong, and somehow we feel like God is sleeping on us. Where is God when this is happening? He doesn't seem to be aware of what's happening, or he doesn't seem to care. Here we are in danger and great need, and we're saying, "God, you've gone to sleep in us. Everything is falling apart. Things aren't supposed to be this way. Why are you letting this happen?" Or we feel like things just keep getting harder and harder, and it's never gonna let up. But listen to what Christ teaches us, just as he taught his friends that day. He says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Literally, the translation is, where did your faith go? In this moment, in this storm, in this chaos, in this fearful moment, where did your faith go? See, the disciples had been spending time with Jesus. They'd gotten to know him. They'd seen him do incredible things. They'd seen his power already over sickness and in the lives of people. They'd heard him teach, and yet in this moment of terrifying fear, they didn't consider what Christ could do, what they'd already seen him do. They didn't think about the fact that Christ was with them in the boat. They weren't alone, and he'd already told them they were gonna get to the other side. When they were afraid, they forgot what God can do. They forgot what they knew to be true about Jesus Christ and who they'd already seen him be. And Jesus is almost reminding them, like, "Hey, guys, get your faith out. The evidence that you have in me, what you've seen, what you know, what you've heard, what you've experienced, that's what your faith is connected to. Now get your faith out." I love Timothy Keller says it this way. He says, "If you have a God great enough, powerful enough to be mad at because he doesn't stop your suffering, you also have a God who's great enough and powerful enough to have reasons that you can't understand. You can't have it both ways. If you are at the mercy of the storm, its power is unmanageable and it doesn't love you. The only place you're safe is in the will of God. But because he's God and you're not, the will of God is necessarily, immeasurably, unspeakably beyond your largest notions of what he is up to." We don't know what God is up to, but our faith is, it's good. We don't always know why certain things happen to us, but we know what we know to be true about God. God isn't out to torture us. God isn't out to hurt us. God isn't trying to squash us into submission. In fact, God wants to grow us into the highest caliber, character, value, qualities that he can in this lifetime that we carry with us into the next. And Jesus is saying, do you believe that? When everything around you seems scary and hard and crazy and overwhelming, do you still have your faith in what you've seen God do? Do you still know that God can do something beyond what is happening now? Because here's the truth. God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and self-control. And when fear shows up, so many times we forget what we know about God. What's in front of us is all that we can see, and it's overwhelming, and it's unknown, and it's scary, and we forget what we know to be true about Jesus Christ. We forget the promises that he's made us. We forget that we have within us a power that is greater than anything we face. Because just as those guys weren't alone on that boat, neither are we. We don't go through the storms of life alone. When our boat is rocking and it's waves splashing and rain pouring, our stability is found in Jesus Christ. When we feel like we are drowning, Christ is our life preserver. When we feel like we're going under, we reach out to the one who has it all under control. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. And friends, nothing that we face, no struggle that we are up against, is bigger or more powerful than our incredibly mighty God. Please don't forget the promise. We are getting to the other side. We don't know what the journey will look like. It's probably going to be rocky. We'll probably get splashed and wet and some water in our face, but we're getting there. God's not going to let us drown. And when we feel like we aren't enough, like we don't have enough, know enough, can do enough, our mighty Christ reminds us he is more than enough. In him, we have the strength, the perseverance, the value, the worth to be all that he has created us to be. Friends, every time we face something hard, scary, overwhelming, it is diminished when we speak the truth of Christ into it. Now, there's no way to go through life not facing hard things. I don't know anybody in my whole experience or any of my studies that I've read. I don't know anybody who hasn't faced some level of hardship, pain, loss, worry, stress, fear, anxiety, loss of control. But in Christ, each of us have the ability to not let it conquer us. When life gets messy, it's easy to forget who he is. We don't have to be afraid. When things are scary and hard, it's so easy to feel like that is so much bigger than anything else. But Christ shows us again and again and again, we can trust in him. We do not have to be afraid. We can be strong and courageous. We can put our faith in him. Yes, fears are real. Yes, life is hard. Yes, things happen that we couldn't imagine or expect or predict or even feel prepared for. But that's not the only truth. Because the truth and the powerful reality of Jesus Christ is that he stands with us in the storm. He has not forgotten us. He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't turned us back. In fact, he can love us through the storm. He can teach us through the storm. He can grow us through the storm. He can develop in us the character, the strength, the values we need that we would not have found any other way. The truth is, life preservers, they're just decorations until the storm comes. They're just pretty things hanging on a wall. But in a storm, you find out how much you can depend on that life preserver. And in the storms of life that we face, we learn just how much we can depend on Jesus Christ. Now is the time to get our faith out, to shake it out, dust it off, dry it out, and cling to it with all that we have. Because here's the truth we know that the disciples hadn't even seen yet. Jesus had the day come where he went into the eye of the storm itself, when he looked up at death and confronted it on our behalf, when he took on sin and death on himself that we might live, so that we would not be broken or crushed, that we would not be destroyed, that the day would come when all the storms would be calm, when all the waves would be still. Jesus went to the cross voluntarily, willingly, lovingly, and he took his place alongside every single person who's been without power and suffered. And he didn't abandon us on the road to the cross. He didn't turn his back on the world when it was at its worst, when we were ugly and just as terrible as we could be. He faced the storm and did not back down. It cost Christ infinitely, and yet he did not turn his back on us. He willingly, lovingly gave his all. That's who our faith is in. The one who did not abandon us when it cost him everything to love us. Even at our worst, he gave us his best. Pain, hardship, suffering, these are not signs that God doesn't love us. They are not signs that God doesn't care. We know how much God cares every time we look to Jesus Christ and see the sacrifice he made on our behalf. Every time we look to Christ walking the road to Calvary, giving all that he had for you and I, so that death would not have the final say, so that the hardship, the storms would not be the thing that determine who we are and what we can do, that there's nowhere we have been that Christ hasn't gone before us. There's nothing we face that Christ can't see us through. And I want you to just be reminded of how powerful this is. Martin Luther said it this way: even if my faith is weak, I still have exactly the same treasure and the same Christ as others. There's no difference. It's like two people, each of whom own 100 gold coins. One may carry them around in a paper sack, the other in an iron chest. But despite these differences, they both own the same treasure. Thus, the Christ who you and I own is one and the same, irrespective of the strength or weakness of your faith or mine. We have the same treasure. It's not the size of my faith, it's who I put my faith in. It's not the quality of my faith, it's the object of our faith, which is Jesus Christ. And I find this so interesting, because remember we began chapter 4, Jesus teaching this idea about these seeds being thrown and planted, and some growing up and some not. And here we have what happens. The tiniest seeds can grow into the mightiest, most beautiful, flourishing plants, trees, flowers, all of it. They grow, and they're healthy and good when Christ is a part. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he can see you through? No matter what storm you're facing, Christ is with you. No matter how your boat feels today, Christ won't let you drown. Will you trust him? Will you call on him for help? Will you put your hope, your faith in him and see what Christ can do? I want to leave us on this promise that we have from God. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Christ has gone before us. He stands with us, and we can trust in him. Dear Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray as we feel the messiness of life and the hardships of the storms we face, we would be reminded of the treasure we have in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would encourage us, strengthen us. I pray, Father, that you would help us to remember we are not in this boat alone, that you stand with us. Help us to pull out our faith in you. I pray that you would give us the courage, the strength, the perseverance we need to see us through one more day, one more week, one more month, one more year, Father, that we might be the men and women you've created us to be. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.